Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The government shutdown shined a spotlight on hunger in America. Aid to families through the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, was disrupted by the extended shutdown. Even though benefits have since resumed, food pantries and donors rushed in to help those who receive partial or delayed SNAP benefits. I'm Rob Hart, and we talk about food insecurity in the Chicago area with Danielle Perry, Vice President of Policy and Advocacy of the Greater Chicago Food Depository, this week on At Issue. Danielle Perry, Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Thank you for joining us on At Issue.
Happy to be here.
Now, let's begin with the recently ended government shutdown, because for a little while, recipients of SNAP food benefits, those benefits were in doubt. And for a little while, those benefits had ended. And that led to a great deal of giving in the Chicago area. I think people understood their plight and they opened up their hearts and their wallets. What was the impact on the Greater Chicago Food Depository?
Well, it was huge. So many people were going to our website, were showing up for us to volunteer, and really asking, how can we help? How can we spread the word that SNAP is at risk, not just for today and this shutdown, but longer term? And we appreciate so much everything people did. Because of that, we were able to put more food in the pantries. In every single pantry, we increased by almost 20% across our entire network of over 800 pantries, soup kitchens and shelters. And then we also did additional distributions on the weekends of shelf-stable boxes of food in communities we know have the highest number of SNAP recipients. All of that because of people's generosity.
Now, I think let's kind of zoom out a little bit, because I've been to the Greater Chicago Food Depository warehouse on the southwest side. It's a really amazing sight. But what is your organization's role in the larger meeting of need in the Chicago area? Where do you come in?
So the food bank is the source, basically, of food for all of the pantries, soup kitchens, shelters in the Cook County area. We are basically Chicago's food bank. We purchase and procure food in bulk, and then we scale it down to go out to the different pantries. We're pretty unique also in the country. We're one of the few food banks that don't charge people for food, meaning the pantries, and we don't charge to deliver that food. So we buy in bulk, we take it down to smaller size, and then we actually deliver in our own trucks to food pantries and soup kitchens and shelters across the Cook County area.
And then when we talk about food insecurity and people who rely on these pantries, who are we talking about here? Well, who, I mean, need probably is universal, and who is, you know, who benefits the most from this?
That's a great question. Feeding America says that 1 in 8 people in Illinois are food insecure. In the Cook County, Chicago area, we see 1 in 5 families food insecure and 1 in 4 with children. And when you get really narrow into the South and West side, where we've seen disinvestment historically and from generations, you're seeing even higher percentages. And so when you think about SNAP in particular, one of America's greatest lifelines around food, 75% of people receiving SNAP are children, people with disabilities, and our seniors. So a lot of people benefiting from the food we provide and also the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or what we all colloquially call food stamps. A lot of our most vulnerable are the people receiving these benefits.
And then how has need changed, especially in the last couple of years with the explosion in the price of groceries? I mean, everyone's grocery bill is higher than it was 5 years ago. But if you're on a fixed income and you're counting literally every penny that comes in, even a 3 or 4 or 5% increase in the price of groceries over the course of a couple of months, that can mean the difference between choosing to have a meal and not.
That's right. We saw 2.3 million households just last year. That's up about 35% since 2021, the height of COVID. So you hit it on the nail. Like, the reasons, inflation, the rising cost of everything, not just groceries, but housing and all the other things, that's what has made, I think, the need for the emergency food system so serious.
And then you talk about how the Greater Chicago Food Depository is unique among other food banks in big cities across the country. Describe for us just how intricate the network is of all the organizations that you supply.
So out of the over 800 different people we supply to, majority of those are, in fact, food pantries. And if you've been to a food pantry, many of them are in churches, typically religious institutions. But then sometimes people don't even realize that so many of our local nonprofits, people who show up in community and provide social service to people, also run food programs. And then soup kitchens and shelters are places where we provide food. So you think of a soup kitchen and how they have ready-made meals, but that the produce and the vegetables and that came from the food depository, which people don't typically know about. And those show up in all of our communities across this county. That's pretty much the web that you think of when you think of the food depository. But we do things people don't know about as well. We provide a lot of after-school meals. We provide majority of the summer meals that people see in Cook County. We have our own commercial kitchen where we can produce up to almost 10,000 meals a day. We provide meals to seniors every single day, and we deliver straight to the home. So we do a lot of things other than just, you know, when people think of us, beans, rice, vegetables, but we do a lot more than that, and we're feeding so many different parts of the family when you think about the family.
What is the food breakdown at the food depository? Is it majority like dry food stuff that's non-perishable and can keep for a long time? And how much of it is fresh produce?
So I believe the percentage is almost like 30 to 40% produce. It's increased so much over time. One of the things I'm really proud of, because I used to be the executive director of Growing Home, a local farm that also has a workforce development nonprofit in Inglewood. We buy produce directly from Growing Home and a number of other local farms. So not only do we have more produce than we ever had before, but to be able to purchase it locally is amazing. And I'm appreciative of the fact that the General Assembly continues to pass the Farm to Food Bank Act, which gives us money to put into local farmers as well. So more produce than you can imagine than we have in history. And to be able to have done it locally is amazing.
Yeah, let's expand on the procurement process. Because this seems to tie together a lot of stories that I've covered over the years of efforts to really revive local agriculture and maybe turn former, you know, abandoned properties or abandoned land into agricultural spaces where people can learn the craft and maybe turn their life around and also provide food that goes to the food depository. So where does your food come from outside of some of these local sources?
So beyond the hyper-local, we also, USDA is a lot of the food we get. We get a lot of food from USDA. We also get a lot of food rescue from some of our local grocery stores, which has become a bigger part of our operation. And then Feeding America is a great source for food for us. They're able to procure at an even bigger rate than we can, and they get produce from all over, like Florida or California, and we're able to pull down from that as well.
On the funding side of the equation, going back to percentages, How much of your funding comes from grants or from state, local, or the federal government, and how much of it comes from donations?
Well, the Greater Chicago Food Depository is unique. The average food bank gets majority of their food and then subsequently the funding from USDA. But that's not true for us. Chicago, we are blessed to be in a city like Chicago where we take care of each other and people are so generous. Even people who give a dollar, $10 a month, they are the reason why we're able to do what we do. I think we get less than 30% of our, you know, funding from USDA, and most of it is from individual, corporate, and foundation philanthropy, basically, is majority of what we have.
Let's go back to the discussion about what happened when the SNAP benefits were in danger in the waning days of the government shutdown. And Chicagoans really stepped up, and they were donating to food pantries and to restaurants were offering free meals to people who were in need. Of course, Manny's was the one notable example of that. But when what was it like from the perspective of your organization? You were just doing more, but also, how were people donating to the food depository during that time?
Well, one thing we appreciate is that when somebody donates to the food depository, we're able, like I told you, to buy in bulk in a way that people's first inclination is, let me go to the grocery store and buy another can of green beans. But for that same amount that you could go and purchase at the store with your one can of green beans, we could buy so much more in bulk. And so because people were making donations to the food depository, we were able to take that and buy and procure in a bigger way to be able to push out so much more inventory across our network. And then our first inclination was, let's give what we have. So what we had in our warehouse, we gave out to our pantries so that they could be ready. And then we went and procured to fill up basically 25-pound boxes that we gave out in hubs in communities that we knew had the highest number of SNAP recipients. And we picked partners, existing partners who were strong, like St. Sabina or Sankofa Market, which is run by Trinity United Church of Christ. And they're seeing numbers like 500-600 people come on Saturdays to pick up these boxes. So we were able, with donations from generous people, we were able to stand up such a quick emergency response to a moment where USDA made a decision to not fund the SNAP program during the shutdown.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart, talking with Danielle Perry, Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Greater Chicago Food Depository. Let's talk about that warehouse on the southwest side, because that really is, it's an incredible sight once you're inside there. But just talk about what's in the warehouse, how much stuff is there, and how many people are served because of it.
So on average, we're seeing in the last few weeks about 175,000 households a month being fed at the local pantries. And our warehouse, I'm with you, I'm pretty new at the food depository. And when I got an actual tour of the warehouse, I was blown away myself. If you can imagine an entire warehouse, wall that's a freezer. Just a huge freezer that keeps our proteins and our produce so that we can have more fresh food. And then, I couldn't even tell you the amount of food that we have that comes in and out of there every single day. The hard work of those folks who work in our warehouse is just absolutely incredible. And how they've stood up in this moment to procure even more food than we normally have to show up for those additional boxes we were doing, it's just tremendous. And the work of these folks, they come to work as early as 5 o'clock to make sure we get the deliveries out to the pantries. And we're so grateful for who they are and what they do.
We're shining a light on giving, especially as we approach the end of the year. And this is running during the Thanksgiving weekend. And chances are, if you're listening, you have already been asked to donate to a food bank. I know in the case of my daughters, they're Girl Scouts, and they do they have a Christmas carols in the suburbs. And one thing you do before the carol performance is you make a donation to a local food bank. But you talked about how maybe the financial side of giving is a lot more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Impactful compared to, as you said, you know, here's some more spaghetti and here's some more tomato sauce.
Yeah, it's, I think it can go a much longer way. But one of the things that is important to think about also is advocacy, which is obviously my side of the house, but I'm not saying that selfishly. It's true. People were up in arms over folks not receiving their benefits in November. But what they don't realize is that SNAP is completely under attack. After the Big Beautiful Bill was signed, it put things in jeopardy for folks that we will see hundreds of thousands of people lose their benefits over the next few months. So not only do we need you to donate, not only do we need you to volunteer, but we need you to lift your voice. We need you to help us advocate to reverse some of the changes in the Big Beautiful Bill to SNAP and help us to make sure that people have the information they need to stay enrolled. All of those changes are coming in a matter of days. And if people don't know and they don't have the information, they will lose this benefit, not for a month, long term.
How would you describe fulfillment in your job? And I only ask because you're very proud of the effort that you and your team at the Food Depository expends every day to meet this need. But at the same time, it must be frustrating that the need exists in the first place.
Yeah, that's devastating. And the fact that it's just growing, that the Big Beautiful Bill decimated our safety net as we know it. And what we saw in November is just the beginning. That makes this job really hard. But I'm proud to work with people who are willing to get up every day and fight, who are willing to sign people up to advocate, who are willing to go down in Springfield and advocate for our state to pay the bill that we're now going to incur because of the Big Beautiful Bill. That's upward $800 million. But the pride I have to work with these folks, the pride I have to join people like you who are willing to lift this subject up, it means we're not alone, that we're going to make it if we join together. And I'm actually excited to go to work every day. I have passion for this work. And I think everybody who works at the Food Depository does too.
The public outcry and the public response to SNAP benefits being jeopardized by the government shutdown. Were you surprised by the degree to which people responded?
A little bit. You know, I was a little disappointed when the Big Beautiful Bill was being passed. All that was talked about was Medicaid. And it really bothered me that SNAP never made it to the conversation. People weren't up in arms about that part. They weren't willing to shut down the government to fix that part of the bill either. So I was a little surprised that all of a sudden everyone was so up in arms over food assistance. But it's right. You know, food is a basic human right. And this was absolutely a policy choice. This was a decision that USDA made to not fund the SNAP program when they had the money to do it. And so I appreciate that people stood up and lifted their voices. I just hope that they don't stop.
You mentioned that the people who rely on SNAP the most are the elderly, children, and the disabled. And what kind of a difference does the Food Depository make in their lives? Like, do you have any like representative stories that come to mind?
Absolutely. Just think of the name, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's a supplement to someone's budget, right? They don't have enough. Many of these people work. Many of the people who receive SNAP are working folks, but what they make isn't enough to get by. And sometimes what they get even from SNAP isn't enough. What the food depository does without the applications and have the documentation that a SNAP program would require, it gives people the opportunity to come and have the dignity to get the food they need and supplement what their budget doesn't have, what the SNAP program can't give them. We show up as that emergency space with no questions asked to support you when you need it. And that's a powerful place to be. And I believe the food depository does that for so many people in moments of inflection when they need it. And people may assume it's a monthly thing, but for many people, it's when they get sick or when something unexpected happens. We found in our data that people don't come to the food deposit, the food pantries every single month on average. It's once a year or twice a year. And that's because we both know things happen. And I appreciate that the food depository is there for people when those things happen.
On the advocacy side, you said you're encouraging people to raise their voices to make sure that the SNAP program is fully funded, that the money is there so that people's needs are met. But could you imagine a world in which the food depository is not necessary? And how does that world come to pass?
I love that. I love that you asked that question. The food depository's mission, and it changed a couple years ago, is to end hunger. We are literally working ourselves out of a job. I believe policy and advocacy are a huge part of that. Giving people money to be able to support their budget so that they don't have to make the choice between food and that electric bill or food and rent, which you brought up at the beginning of this conversation. Us standing up for policies that are really anti-poverty policies will help people be able to basically afford what they need, including food. And so I look forward to the day where there's no Greater Chicago Food Depository. And I believe if we all come together and continue to work on fighting for policies that can help people not even be in the line to begin with, which means higher wages, transportation, access to great food in their community that's affordable, and then also policies like SNAP, the most effective anti-hunger tool in America. This is what it would look like for us to end hunger.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We're talking to Danielle Perry, the Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Greater Chicago Food Depository. I mentioned that this is the season of giving, and on your fundraising calendar, does the Greater Chicago Food Depository find that the end of the year is when it gets its largest number of donations?
Absolutely.
Both financial and otherwise?
Yes. I mean, aside from inflection points like what we saw with SNAP, yes, the end of the year is when people absolutely come and support the food depository. They support year-round, but I do think this is the biggest time for us.
And then outside of donations and outside of advocacy, if people are listening to this conversation and they want to help, what are some ways they can, in which they can?
You can always volunteer. The food depository is a wonderful experience from a volunteer perspective. And then also, if you go to our website, chicagosfoodbank.org, and you click Find Food, you can put your address in and find the closest pantry to your home. You should also think about volunteering and supporting your local pantry. They likely need the hands. The amount of need and the number of people coming to the pantry is at an all-time high. And often the small church or the local nonprofit doesn't necessarily have the volunteers they need to show up in this moment. And not just for food, but also if we're going to keep people enrolled in SNAP, we're going to need folks on the ground who are helping them navigate their case, their documents, and the red tape that comes with staying in a government program. So imagine if you are a person who has a little more time, you could get trained up to be at that local pantry and help out in ways that you probably can't imagine.
And I wanted to speak up for volunteering here, because it really is an incredibly fulfilling act. Earlier this year, my family and I made lunches for the Uncle Pete Ministry in the Northwest suburbs. And it was an entire Saturday morning of just moving boxes and putting sandwiches in bags and making sure everything was in the right proportions. But when we were finished, we all felt great. Volunteering, whether it's for your local food pantry or for the food depository, I would imagine people tell you that too. Like, I've never volunteered before, but I did it today and I'm going to come next week or the next earliest available opportunity.
Absolutely. Everybody leaves saying that because you do feel fulfilled, especially during the holidays. You know, my family, we used to do work at a soup kitchen before we all went home and ate. And I think that's a powerful way to spend your day, no matter what day of the week it is. I also love the longer term volunteers as well. One time volunteering makes you feel awesome, but we're really lucky to have some volunteers who, honestly, I see the same amount of time I see the other employees at the food depository. When you walk in, you see their face and you're excited to see them. This is how they use their retirement. This is how they use the extra time that they have. And it's, I think it's such a fulfilling experience to be a part of such a great investment in our community. And you can see it on their faces every day.
And then what is it? I mean, I would imagine you probably develop relationships too with people who need the food depository, that the you see them on a regular basis and they're very happy to see you because you make this substantial difference in their lives.
That's so true. The examples I can imagine are, we have a fellowship program in the advocacy side where we have advocates who go with us to Springfield who are actually either working in pantries and in leadership or who receive some of the benefits at the pantry. They are the best advocates in Springfield. When they meet with the General Assembly, they can tell that story. Like you said, they bring the human touch to what we're advocating for. And honestly, I'm like, I want to take them every time I go because they really make and drive home the point of the fact that they need it, that they appreciate it. Not that we need more funding, but that we need to fight for policies that help people be able to afford what they need. So advocacy is the way that I've gotten to see people who work and who go to the pantries really shine. And it's been a great thing to see.
When describing need in the Chicago area, we talked about the giant warehouse. I didn't want to say the big, beautiful warehouse, but the giant warehouse. It's off of Pulaski, right?
Yes.
On the southwest side. And it's a huge facility. And there's a lot of food in there. But describing the need in terms of, you know, how quickly is that warehouse depleted meeting everybody's needs?
I always say when I talk about SNAP that for every meal the emergency food system can provide, SNAP provides 9. You've talked about how huge our warehouse is, how much food we push out. But imagine the fact that we can't stand up an apparatus that would replace the SNAP program because there's not nearly enough food in the world, right? We need programs like SNAP to give people money, and we need to get as much food as we can to get food on folks' tables. But when you ask a question like, how quickly can you deplete? Easily. You know, the governor was so generous in giving food banks across the state $20 million to try to stand up in an emergency when the government shut down. But we get $90 million from SNAP a week. So we're so grateful for what he did. It does help us buy more food, but that just shows you that even that kind of investment gets you what? A day or two? Because that's how much food people really need to survive.
If you give financially to the Greater Chicago Food Depository, that financial gift you mentioned, you know, just because you can buy in bulk and buy a lot of food, that $1, let's break it down that way. That $1, what could it get you?
That $1, what could it get you? I don't know that
we can
dwindle it down to that specific of a number, but I will say that $1 definitely shows up on the table of somebody in this city or somebody in this county in areas where there are great needs. I can't tell you if it gives you 2 cans of green beans or 20, but I will say that we're showing up across this county, and I don't think you could pick a neighborhood or even a couple of blocks where there's not a pantry, soup kitchen, after-school program or something where the food depository isn't showing up. So your dollar's going somewhere, and it's going to someone who truly needs it.
What is your organization's goal for 2026, whether it's advocacy, whether it's hitting a certain fundraising target, whether it's scaling up even more? What do you want to get done next year?
That's a great question. We released a new strategic plan at the beginning or around the middle of this year, and it names all the things you just said. It talks about standing up for the safety net, which includes SNAP, which we're doing. You hear me talk about that a lot. It talks about advocacy and community engagement. We've started a community engagement team where we're getting out in the community and really building authentic relationships. What we want to see is that people don't just know us for food, but they know us for people who are part of their community beyond the pantry. Fighting for policies, like I said, anti-poverty and anti-hunger policies. We know that that's what's going to end hunger. And so our strategic plan goes beyond just food on tables, but towards the mission that you talked about, where there's no food depository at all. And ending hunger takes work, but that's what our plan is for the years to build towards it.
Daniel Perry, Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Greater Chicago Food Depository, thank you for joining us on At Issue.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to a conversation with Daniel Perry, Vice President of Policy and Advocacy for the Greater Chicago Food Depository. To learn more about the organization or to donate, visit chicagosfoodbank.org. If you want to hear the program again, you can find it at WBBMNewsRadio.com, the Odyssey app, or the iHeartRadio app. Please join us next week for another edition of At Issue. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Cyber Monday is on at Blinds.com. Transform your windows and get your home ready for the holidays with up to 50% off site-wide. Plus, doorbuster deals on popular styles at Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the number one online retailer for custom window treatments. Go DIY and do it all 100% online, or choose white glove service with expert design guidance and professional installation for a seamless start-to-finish experience. Whether it's blackout, motorized, sheer, or solar, you'll find massive deals at Blinds.com on premium brands that make any room feel warm and inviting. With Blinds.com, you can browse online, order free samples, and schedule professional measure and install with vetted experts. Backed by award-winning designers and thousands of five-star reviews, Blinds.com has helped millions pull off that wow reveal before the guests arrive. Hurry, Blinds.com's Cyber Monday super sale won't last long. Shop now and save up to 50% site-wide and get a free professional measure. Limited time offer, restrictions apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.